Well, I'd like to bring order August 12, 2014, our second workshop meeting for our budget, 2014-2015, general fund budget. Do a roll call. We'll start with you, Mr. Moyer, please.
Neil Moyer, here.
Andy Schnell, present.
Bo Bunker, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Rich Dabbs.
Mike Williams, present.
All right, very good, thank you. Moving on into our budget. Let's go over a few things with the council. First off, we have Chief Harrison, as you notice here. He'll be here for a very short time. I asked the chief to come in here. I know he's had a long day, but a few things on the budget that I want to go over. You have a new one put in front of you, a couple of small tweaks, not anything major. I hope that everybody had time to review the budget. I know everybody, I want to thank you. I know that you all have regular jobs and you're busy, so I appreciate you taking the time and effort to go through the budget. I know it's a lot of heartache, but it's something we have to do. We run for office. It's one of the commitments we have to follow through with. With that being said, the chief, there's a few items that I felt that I thought people would not be as the wording basically would not want to pursue that direction that I wanted to go in. That's totally up to the council to make that final decision. But I wanted to make sure, per se, using the word ammunition in my gun, I wanted you to have the reasons why some of the things I did in front of you or hear that as far as departments. I do not have Eric here tonight. He is an intern director. We do not have a full-time director as of yet. We're still looking. But I would like the chief to go over a few minutes exactly why I pushed for one vehicle. I want everyone to keep in mind now that on the 28th, I do have a meeting with the chancellor, Stan Jack. I am hoping that I could persuade them to work a contract services out with us and try to get them to initiate letting us have maybe one to two vehicles. I'm going to go after two for a contract type of service. Now, when I say this, I don't mean just going after the automobile. I don't mean just like going after a Tahoe or a Ford car. I'm talking about going after the vehicle fully decked out, striped, lights and all, plus radar. All right, so I mean, I'm talking a fully functioning unit ready to roll. When you get into that pricing, you're looking at about $50,000 per car. So that's about $100,000 right there. This is not a sure thing. If that falls through, I'm going to look at different avenues, whatever it takes to get things to move. With that in mind, I've gone over the budget multiple times. I've heard from we heard from a couple of citizens last night expressing their interest on things they want to cut and whatnot. When you look at this budget is one of, with other than one working company in this city, and I use the word company because I try to treat this budget and the city like a business, not like just a mom and pop shop. We have a business to run here. I think looking at, let's look at the budget now. Okay, next year we have another budget to look at. Let's just go with that. Develop a tunnel vision. I think you need to really stand back and look at the functions of a 24, 36 month period. How is the cut I make today going to affect me in another 2 years, a year and a half, 3 years down the road? I take this budget very seriously. I spent a lot of my time looking at this. David has spent a lot of time looking at this. Back and forth. I feel that the presentation of this budget is in the best interest of the city, but that's my personal opinion. It is up to the council to make the decisions if they want to cut something. If I disagree, I'll voice my opinion. That's at this point all I can do at voting for. But once you look through it, we'll go page by page. You can decide which way you want to go on that. First off, so I don't hold the chief up, I'm going to let him give you some information he's collected, because I thought that the patrol car was one issue that there may be one or two council members not happy with. So I wanted him to voice why exactly I put that in there, why he thinks he needs a patrol car. Chief Harrison?
If you don't mind, I'm going to bring a chair and sit here so that I'm not standing and you guys are sitting, and I form that superiority complex in this room because I know my standing in the room. The first thing is I'd really like to bring up before I get into numbers is I'd like to clear up what I think is a misconception, because I've heard two council members say, and I've heard a lot of citizens say it, is that we have a plan in place currently where we replace cars every 2 years. When we buy them 2 years later, we get rid of them. It just ain't true. It doesn't happen. We may have in the past at some point, But the best I can tell, we had no new vehicle this budget year. Last budget year, we had one. The year before that, we had zero. And the year before that, we had one. So we're looking at one new vehicle in the past several years. And that's put us in a position now where, you know, we're not in dire straits, but we are getting into a position where I'm concerned about next year and the year after. As I was looking today at the monies we've spent this year, and these are rough estimates, and I apologize for that, but these are rough estimates I came up with. Right now, to date, I'm close to $5,000 in keeping the cars on the road, and these are the Dodges. We've got a minimum expense on the Tahoe that we've already got, the 2010 or the 2013 Ford. 2013 Ford is obviously still under warranty. And I've got a memo here in my hand to the mayor before I walk out. But with the numbers I'm about to give you, you have to understand also that I've gone out and solicited friends to fix some of her cars at no cost, too. And when I say no cost, I'm going to give you one example of a young man in town that has helped me. He's towed our vehicles for free over 8 times in the past year. That's a savings of, you know, it's $75 to $100 every time he's touched it. I had a Ford dealership give us an estimate on a Ford, on a Dodge that had a broken pin or a loose pin at the time in the steering column. And the estimate for the part itself was almost $400, and the labor was going to be close to $2. And it broke before I had a chance to get it fixed. And this young guy came and picked it up on his record and charged me $92 to fix it because he fixed a piece in there and it was safe. So I've saved a lot of money. That's not even going to be reflected in here. If you look at these cars, 1101, which is the one that I would propose getting rid of, it's a 2011 Dodge Charger. It's got 41,300 miles on it. Well, that might not be impressive to you. It's got 4,964 engine hours on it. And if that doesn't impress you, the 2,494 idling hours should. And those idling hours are for those that are mechanically inclined, those are horrible, horrible, horrible hours. And you might say, you know, can you get away from that? Well, you know, you might save an hour here and an hour there, but I know just one incident I had just a few weeks back, a month or so ago, where I had a juvenile detained. He sat in my truck for 4 hours because I had nothing else to do with it. I had to keep it running. And the truck sat there for 4 solid hours with him in it while I processed paperwork to get ready to take him to the juvenile holding facility. That's just one case. The keys don't work in these cars, the electronic keys. And these keys are a vital part of these cars, as I've learned. If the brain goes out in the key, it causes loss of power to the engine. I don't know how that works, but it works that way. And these keys are several hundred dollars to replace. We've got simple things. Hubcaps missing. I'm still on 1101. Hubcaps don't bother me. It's just a cosmetic thing. But I've got a fuel door that has to be pried open every time we fill it with fuel. I've got a valve cover that's leaking oil. Got a lifter on the right side that's sticking. I've got an idler pulling alternator that's making noise that has to be looked at. Front brakes need replacing. Possible rotor replacement. The push bar is damaged. It was removed over a year ago. So there's no siren or no lights on the front bumper. It's had to be put inside the motor well. And when you do that, you take down on the noise that it emits so you're not as loud. The driver for the seal around the door is badly damaged and leaking. Front cushion seats are torn. Cosmetic again, not a big deal, but it is, you know, something you let it go and then you can't hardly set it. And the vehicle tracks hard to the right, possible alignment issues. This is a vehicle that was wrecked by an officer over a year ago and required extensive body work, and it hasn't been the same since it came back. So that's one vehicle that I tell you it's unsafe to drive, in my opinion. It's on the road right now, and it's not totally safe to drive. The sister to that unit is a unit 1102, which is also a Dodge Charger. It's a 2011 as well. It has slightly more miles at 44,464 miles. It has 5,066 engine hours with 2,611 idling hours. It has problems with the electric display malfunctions. You have to stop the engine to reset so all the cluster of instruments work. The passenger side window is broken. The key malfunctions on that one, too. The warning gauge is turned on and off, so you never know if you've got a vehicle problem or not. The front bumper is damaged and loose from a prior wreck from when it was a newer car. We have a lot more issues with the mounting on that one. Traditionally, we have tried, the department's tried to save money through the years by using old equipment to put on newer cars, and sometimes they fit and sometimes we make them fit. And when you make them fit, you end up with screws that are too long or brackets that weren't made for that, and it creates a nightmare down the road. There again, we have cushions torn, front brakes need replacing on that one, that one needs tires. So just a few things I've told you about on those two cars, those are just things that we need to fix. That's to the tune of several thousand dollars on those two cars. What we've already spent this year is close to $5,000. That vehicle was involved in an accident. I don't know if I mentioned or not, but it hit a deer when it was a newer vehicle. 2012, which is a 2012 Dodge Charger, has 40,118 miles, 4,778 engine hours. I don't have the idling hours on that one. I couldn't figure out how to get it. That one, the trunk doesn't open without having to jimmy it. It needs tires all the way around. It tracks hard right, brakes squeal, has AC and electrical issues, and the instrument cluster also has issues. I believe that this vehicle, with some preventive maintenance, will be in solid order for the next year. I'm not too worried about it. And not knowing whether I was going to hand this out to the mayor or I'm just going to read them. Something I put down here. The Dodge Chargers have proven to be a troublesome patrol vehicle for the Shore Acres Police Department. Patrol vehicles in our department accumulate a lot of idling time on traffic stops and other calls for service. The majority of our time is spent under 40 miles an hour, with a large amount of that time under 30 miles an hour for residential patrol. The vehicles are expected to service traffic units where they go from setting and idling to high speeds in a short amount of time and have hard braking applied many times. We've encountered numerous issues with the electric components and our power steering systems. The power steering system seems to be the biggest problem, and it's composed of a closed system and a vacuum of sorts, and you don't just add fluid to these things. It's a mechanical nightmare. So with the issues that we have with these, I haven't even told you about all the work that's been done on a warranty to them, because we're not charged for that, so it doesn't really show in the budget where we spent money. But I think between these two cars, they've been in the shop 11 or 12 times just for things that broke that we took and got fixed that was under warranty. And guess what those warranty problems were? They were the power steering and the electrical, the same stuff that's out again. But unfortunately, they're out of warranty now.
Chief, let me ask you, on all three cars, I meant to ask you this. Do all three of the vehicles all have readily... All the camera systems work?
No, sir.
The mic systems work?
No, sir.
For folks that haven't been in law enforcement before, I will tell you that is a severe, severe problem. Not having a camera system and a mic system in a car can be detrimental to a very big lawsuit. That is something these cars desperately need. So you have no video, no audio.
They're intermittent. Every system we've got is intermittent, except for 1301, which is the brand new Ford. It's smarter than any of us are. We tried to figure out how to download it. Dodie's our computer guy. He's tried to load it. I've talked to the people myself. There's some components we did not buy at the time that was supposed to go with it that we need. And quite frankly, I just haven't spent the money to try to make it work, because I think it may be smarter to junk it and buy a cheaper system that we can operate.
This is on the Dodges.
No, sir. This is on the Ford. The Dodges have older systems. The radar units in those guys are like 1985 models. I mean, I'm not kidding. They're old. So we don't rely on the radars. I don't even have that in here. The camera systems are all older style camera systems. We still have VHS. We're the only people in the world that I know of that's still filming on VHS systems. They're just intermittent. We work on them every week. We fix wiring. We do everything we can every week to keep them working, because they're expensive to replace, and I know they are. And I haven't asked to replace them because I know it's expensive. But the truth is, like the mayor said, that through racial profiling, you know, that's one of the things that you have to do in order to satisfy the racial profiling statutes, to have cameras in the cars. If you don't do that, there's another tier of reporting you have to do. which we do not want any part of, I can assure you.
Yeah, I think, and that the council just briefs and offices, the bottom line is to meet criteria, certain state requirements that we have to meet without having that can create a problem for us. Let me ask you this. Radar guns, actual radar guns that are tuned and calibrated, either units or radar guns, how many does Shore Acres have?
We have one radar gun. That is that's a mobile device that you can take in and out of a vehicle and use for radar. Everything else we have is
fixed.
Is fixed in a vehicle.
Which out of those, though, I guess where I'm going is
not a one of them work for our.
Thank you. So they won't hold up in court if we go to court.
We have digital lights that are burned out, which you know is a no-no because you can't attest to the true speed. You know what it is.
Right.
But when they ask, you can't swear to it.
And you said one of the units, let me go back here, I think it was 1102, the 2012 Dodge. My understanding, you said the trunk has to be Jimmy?
One of them it is. I think it's 1202.
40,818 miles.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the 2012 Dodge, the trunk has to be Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Does it have a gun rack and a cage?
Yes, sir.
So you do have a gun up front?
Yes, sir.
But all your vests, helmets, and everything are in the trunk?
Right, along with our medical bag.
So, okay. So if you get into something, I guess you ain't getting it out of the trunk anytime soon. If you're being shot at.
You would fight with it.
Yeah.
And we don't carry the medical bags in the back seat, only because if you have a prisoner that is being difficult, it's difficult to move stuff out of the way. At first, we carried them in the back seat, and then we moved them to the trunk for that reason. They're hard to struggle with.
And medical bags, you have how many?
Well, we've got six total, or actually, I'm sorry, we've got five total. Some are equipped differently than others, but we have five total.
AEDs?
We have two.
Thank you, Chief Counsel.
Since we, it appears that the built-in radar units, or I guess they're built-in, it sounds like that's not going to be a problem that's going to go away in the future. Or, you know, there's no way of knowing that that's not going to go away in the future. So maybe we shouldn't be purchasing cars with built-in radar units. We should have.
They're not built-in. You actually plug them in, and they plug in, you wire them in, or you plug in a serial wire. Radar, you're talking about the radar gun you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about, I thought I heard that there was one radar gun unit that was not
portable.
That was portable.
It's a portable.
Okay.
The other one fixed, actually what it does, it just mounts on the dash is what it does.
Okay, so it's a wiring issue. Unit itself is not defective, per se, or is it?
We purchased these, when I say we, it's been years ago, purchased them as refurbished units.
Yeah.
And as refurbished units, they're already old, and then we bought them used, and now they're just of no use. So as of today, I would not put any radar unit we've got in a new vehicle. We would stick with the handheld, which I think is what you're...
Yeah, it sounds like that one...
The handheld is the better way to
put you at less risk of being tied to the vehicle specifically and issues related to that.
Correct.
Okay, so on the road, that may be... The alternative is to have the separate, is to have
you're seeing units. More the laser radar gun. It's a laser radar gun. It's got a peep sight. Give you an idea about it. You're seeing more of those being utilized now. You'll see state troopers still using the fixed set inside vehicles, but like at LaPorte, for example, they're working radar constantly outside behind a telephone post. That's what they use. So I just want to make sure we're covering all the pieces of the pie here that you know you've got sitting there. Are antiquated, per se.
I think that council approved that back 2010-ish.
4 years ago.
And I think there was some grant money help or something like that. No? It was just an approval?
When I came here 2.5 years ago, they worked. You know, they're just old.
And just to ask, come see... to be running into the same parked Dodge Charger. has anybody contacted Josh? Is this like a, is there recall issues or anything like that that has been explored?
We've had several recall issues, but we've had some unique circumstances too. The officer wrecked the car during a pursuit. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're going to blame everything that happens to that car after that on that wreck. I think that the unique way that we patrol, which, you know, I was watching today as I was riding with Thompson for a few minutes, we was looking at some lots. We were at 18 miles an hour through the city. And when you take a car and you do that for 2 or 3 hours and you run out and run it, you know, it's 80, 90, 100 miles an hour on the freeway, and you do that all day long, and then you sit it out here with the, you know, feels like temps of 110, the Dodges, in my opinion, just haven't performed for us. They may work well for other departments, but the way we utilize them, they don't seem to work well.
Do those go from the V8 to the 4?
Supposed to. I mean, as I understand it, they're supposed to save energy by going to 4 when you're not. They're I mean, I'll tell you right now, they're a fun car to drive. As a patrolman, they're a fun car to drive, but as an administrator trying to manage a budget, they're a nightmare.
You know, we, before the comparison, made a real effort to cut down on idle time, and we put monitors on there. And what we found is, in the heat of the summer, if you don't let the cars idle with the air conditioning, that we were paying for it with the laptops and the electronics that were in the
getting too hot. Laptops
are
in the cooking
screen. We're spending our money and filling gas on electronics and stuff being down.
Yeah, my iPad's warned me a few times about that.
As far as the, okay, so vehicle numbers, we've got car 1101, which is the 2011 Charger, 1102, which is the 2011 Charger, 1202, which is a 12 Charger.
1201, yes, ma'am.
Okay, 1201, which is a 12 Charger. The Ford is a 1301.
It's a 13.
And then our Tahoe, isn't it a 2009?
2010.
Okay, 2010 Tahoe, and it seems to be holding out really well for us.
It's the most reliable vehicle besides the brand new car that we have. And as I look back through the last budget year, my year and the year before, the paperwork I could find, I can only find a couple of times that it's even been in the shop for anything besides an oil change.
That's the Ford car?
No, sir. That's
the Ford Tahoe. Oh, the Tahoe. What about the Ford? There's a Ford vehicle, right?
1301.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's still under warranty, so I mean, it's...
Has it been in the shop much?
It's been in for a sensor that okay. was up faulty, and it's got a recall on it right now. I've got to get it in for it.
Any other questions from council? Chief, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, sir. You have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you again for your time.
Right now. Here, I can do that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move right along to, I think the best, probably, I don't know if it's the best way, but we'll try it, is we'll just start off on page GF1, and I'll just announce the page number. Instead of trying to go item by item, you've seen what's been there, you've already looked at it all. If you have a page you want to stop on, we will stop on that page and then start discussing that item. So looking at GF1, the general fund revenue, property tax type 4010-1 property tax. Okay, that's the page I'm on. Is there any questions on this page?
I guess, you know, we had this brief discussion about when or if we're going to get the certified roll, and I'm still curious about that because we're sort of winging it without that information.
Right.
And my sense is that, and I've heard this from other communities, is that you really only look at maybe a 3-5% growth in the roll from year to year. It's not going to ever be close to 10%, notwithstanding people see HCAT and hitting them up for 10%. But typically, that's after 3 or 4 years of not being reappraised. So on an annualized basis, that's going to work out to something less than 3% or something.
Right.
So I'm just thinking that... unless we have a better sense of when the certified role is going to be available, and I really think it's a disappointing situation that we have to try to close out our fiscal year and start a fiscal year with that information still hanging.
Well, bear in mind, we can, this whole thing right here, my idea is, you know, we could have 10 meetings. I don't see a reason, because I saw it very unproductive last year. It was a battle back and forth. That's why I wanted to try to prepare a budget the best way I could. You have the right and the power to change it. But this is not in stone. We can go through this complete budget, get it where it needs to be, and then we can wait for a few weeks and then have one last meeting. We all agree on it. Then have one last meeting and say, well, something changed. And tweak it. You can always tweak it before we finalize. Now, on the 28th, I have a meeting with the chancellor. Now, that there with the meeting doesn't mean that she can just give the authorization, or maybe she can. I don't know if she has that type of power. She has to go to the board, I'm sure. But if I can get a positive feel from the chancellor, and let's say, let's just hoping. She says, well, you know what? I think we can work a contract out with two vehicles. There's $100,000 back in our pocket, you know, that we don't have to spend. We're picking up not one, but two vehicles. And I say probably about $50,000 a unit, because like I said, that would be a fully decked out, you know, radar guns and all. I'm not talking about just the car itself. But that's a hope. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I'm going to try. I've tried once with the port. It didn't work. We're going to go with option two. If that doesn't work, I'll figure an option three. But, you know, so just bear in mind, Neil, I want the rest of the council to understand that you can go through this, pretty much feel everybody feel good about it. We're good. We can always come back one more time, say, okay, is there any no final tweaking? Then you take it to council, up meeting, and then you can vote. So
we didn't have a certified tax on to go against last year.
No, sir, we did not.
Or the year before?
We generally don't.
Or the year before
that? Or the year before that?
That's not uncommon.
Yeah, you can.
Well, it's not uncommon. I'm just letting you know.
I understand, but it appears to be the largest driving force in us having to juggle an issue that comes up year after year, and that is when we elect to dive into our reserve funds. If our certified role growth is not there, and that becomes essentially the fulcrum for us having to make a judgment about to what degree or not we have our reserve fund, then it seems kind of critical to me. Now, I'm quite aware that we can wing it with the number, but I don't consider that tweaking it because of the impact on the issue of tapping those reserve funds, because that issue comes up every year, and it gets, depending upon which direction somebody comes at it, it either gets blown way out of proportion, or it's perpetuating a process that we have. And when we get to one of the other pages, I do want to reflect upon the utility fund, the transfers from the general fund to the utility fund, because I think that's a remediable issue. By looking at the fees we charge. But like I said, it's a fulcrum that a lot of things rest on, and you know, we just sort of kick the can down the road, and everybody sees that triggers the issue of tapping the reserve funds every year. And frankly, at some point, you know, we don't make much headway in putting that issue to bed. And I would like to see that issue put to bed and not perpetuated from one budget to the next.
I sympathize. I understand. Bring you back to this. Look where we're going, where we're heading. Look at your graphs. Look at your graphs. But,
I can address where we're
go
at
ahead.
The certified role.
Please do.
HCAD says that they will certify the role on Friday of this week, on August 15th. That's an internal certification. They will not release it to the taxing jurisdictions until August 27th. There is a new state law doesn't take into account the tardiness of Harris County that requires us to publish proposed tax rates before September 1st, which can't happen.
Right.
So we will be, and so will every other taxing entity, will be correct, paying to publish a notice that says, here's our proposed tax rate. We're unable to tell you what it is because we don't have a certified role. And all the city attorneys have concluded that's the best way for us to stay legal and not subject to challenge is to publish a notice that says nothing. And then when we get the certified roll, go through the process of having the hearings and setting the rate and then republishing the same notice a second time. So we're going to be jumping through those hoops. And so, yes, we are stuck. Now, you also are required to adopt a budget before you set a tax rate. That can happen before being just line items on an agenda,
right.
But it can also be different days. So when we adopt a budget, then that will drive how much we have to receive for taxes. So we'll do our best estimate so that you're not shooting in the dark. We've got preliminary goals, and we'll work with that and try to hit the target as close as possible. And since the mayor has set his goal to keep the rate number the same, then that gives us pretty good guidance there. The only time that would be a problem is if it exceeds, and I don't believe it will this time, I think we'll be going in the right direction, but if it were to exceed the rollback rate, then that would trigger a whole other sequence of potential events.
Is there a possibility the proposed property tax could be increased, the 810, based on home values going up? And
the effective tax rate will remove that. You don't get any additional dollars for values going up. The effective rate removes that. And so we can't even say that we're raising or lowering taxes because you don't know what your starting point is because you don't have the certified roll.
Correct.
Without the certified roll, you can't establish effective tax rate, and that's the rate from which you go up or down.
This is backwards.
It is. They have it backwards. Somebody's going to did this homework somewhere down there. So GF1 included on that page. Any other questions? Moving on to GF2. Let's report everything on that page.
I guess I would like to make the observation that it appears that the municipal court fines and fees are significant. They're in a significant downward trend.
Correct.
To, and then we forecast that reversing itself in some fashion. And I'm not sure that I know what specifically is anticipated to turn that around. And if there isn't something like, you know, we're not going to send our police department, or at least we're not going to admit to sending the police department out to do more enforcement to collect fines.
Don't even say that though.
Well,
I said not. Okay.
But I'm just saying is I don't know how we can forecast essentially turning around the downward direction that we're experiencing this year. So I don't know that it makes to me much sense to budget on that proposition. You know, we're 9 months into the fiscal year, $81,000 in fines and fees. I believe the 108 is just expecting 3 more months of the same. But I don't know how you get to 120 for next year from that. I mean, it doesn't seem like a
explain. Yeah.
Okay.
The municipal court revenue is not it's not flat. It is subject to impact in the police department of staffing and management. When you look at the month-to-month and you look at the last 60 days, the time this 120,000 number was put in there, it's a projection saying that we're going to look at the last 90 days' performance of this fiscal year and project where that's headed for the next fiscal year. So you have some months that are real high and some months that are low. Inconsistent, that's the term I believe. We have a great deal of inconsistency. And that tied directly to the changes that we had in the leadership in the police department. And what I'm seeing now in the last 90 days is an upward trend. I mean, and those numbers are not just month numbers. They're dailies. You can see daily what's happening in activity. And if that continues as it is currently going, then we'll hit the 120,000 mark. And that's just a projection off of actual numbers.
Okay, my last 90 days, do you mean April, May, and June?
No. I mean, it was through August 6th, that number you're looking at.
So that would be June, July, and August 6th?
Yes.
So
some of the a quarter that's not represented in the through June 30th.
That's correct. And going back over that, you know, Chief French was here, the patrol, you know, the heavy runner on, say, 146 was Officer Newton. And that was about the only one that really worked traffic that heavy, besides actually myself at the time when I was here. But then when Newman became chief, he worked patrol minimal, but that's what he did, and there was not much going on. You had so much changing of the guard that there was a big slowdown there also. Now that you've got a new chief in there, you've got a department that's basically steadied out, regulated, and you're starting to see a lot more activity out of them. So I think you're going to find out, you'd be surprised, that citizens' contacts, Mr. Morton, is the word that we try to use more. Just to let you know, that's the word, the $10 word, citizen contacts. Doesn't mean someone's getting a ticket. We cannot profit from tickets, we know that. But, you know, he basically pushes a little bit more of a citizen's contact to make sure things are safe. So that's where we stand on that point.
$120,000 is substantially down from what it was.
Yes.
Back up a year ago. I mean, our actuals for 12/13 were 262. So 120 is quite very conservative.
Well, okay, that may be, but we're down one officer right now who's not fulfilling any citizen contacts at all. I'm just saying, and that's going to continue because we don't have the ability to get any work out of that officer under the circumstances. So that means we're working with less staff.
That's not true. No. Well, your shift is still covered.
Okay, fine. Again, I don't know how you get from 262 to 120 in the span of a year, to be perfectly honest. Okay. You know, or turn it around. How did we get to 262? If we knew how we got to 262, then we might be able to say something about is that department performance going to continue? Is it going to turn around? And if it isn't, then
those numbers came in before we put before the overpass was completed.
No, 2012-13, the overpass was there. Trust me, I'm there. It's there. So 262 represented a physical state of 146 the way it is. And if you are suggesting that there was an awful lot of traffic enforcement going on in that area, I guess I'd have to say I still see, personally, the same amount of traffic issues with that overpass with regard to the posted speed limit, which is 60 miles an hour. So, you know, I'm not into the details of how the chief is operating the department or what's going on. What I'm just saying is that we were at 262. We're not going to be anywhere near there when we close out this year. And we're talking about being barely above that next year. So I'm trying to figure out what's changed as far as the activity of our citizen contacts. And, you know, it may be realistic to say we're only going to get 120. I'm perfectly willing to accept that that's where we're going to be. But it does suggest that there's been a radical change in the citizen contact climate.
Well, you did have DOT out of the picture now.
Yeah, I understand that. But I don't know that. I think I've heard that the DOT enforcement didn't generate any revenue to speak of because of the way that works.
Right.
So it had to be other things.
Out of DOT, there's sometimes other things you can get out of that. You can get speed and stuff.
Okay.
I guess the best way to do this, and I appreciate that, is to keep things moving. Do you want to drop this number? You're proposing you don't like this number?
I'm just saying that 120 looks like it's a little over. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't think I'd go beyond what we're expecting to end this year out at 108. I mean, that's
other council members' opinions.
I think if we've got something for 100 or for 90 days, and we've got something trending, then I too think it's low. I think 108, I don't know why it got so low, but if it's trending back up because of personnel management and other issues, then let's go with the 120. If it's projected to hit that over a 12-month period based on the last 3 months, then let's stay with the 120.
On the snow?
I agree.
On Wheeler?
I don't have a problem with that number.
Mayor Pro Tem?
I don't know if that's going to change.
You're talking 10,000 or so difference. I'm okay with leaving.
We want the GF3. Administration. Any questions on this page?
I have questions.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, the reference is going to be in the initial packet. The first revision that we were given, which
8-6.
Yeah. Huh? Yes. On the 6th, and it goes back to the page. I know that we had conversations last year about the new Obamacare with Annie and her position. And I know you just love Obamacare, Mayor. You know, and Annie does not want to work full time. So with Obamacare, if you work over 29 hours, then you have to offer the health insurance and everything else, which is costing us more money. Annie is no longer taking notes, you know, council meetings and stuff. So my thing is, I mean, is she now working a full 2080? No. So we need to cap her at 29 hours and send her tiny little behind home, because that will save us quite a bit in health insurance and all that, because she doesn't want the health insurance. So why is it budgeted? And she had already said she would refuse it. So once again, why is it budgeted? And you know, if we're going to cap her at 29 hours, therefore we're not required by law to offer that to her. This is something we discussed last year during the budget. It's not a grandiose saving, but it's something.
David, do you have any
remarks
on that, please?
Absolutely. Annie works a number of hours that we're required by our contract with TML to provide her with the insurance. She can decline the insurance. She has increased her hours. She wants to have those increased hours. She doesn't want to work a 40-hour week. She doesn't want to work enough to be eligible for TMRS retirement. And then she is now receiving retirement. And she has indicated that those were necessary for her to continue her employment here. She had talked about going elsewhere. And I thought it was a very minor concession. She doesn't work the extra hours, and frankly, I'm not interested in having the overtime hours, not overtime in the sense of paying her overtime, but having her work the extra hours to sit in the council meeting.
Well, that was an argument last year that she was there and that was sort of part of her hours were being spent. She's no longer doing that, and I'm fine with that because we have things recorded now. So I love Amy. I think she's great. I think she's competent. I'm glad she's here. But, I mean, it's decisions like this with personnel that cause problems with budgets. I mean, she doesn't want to work. Well, to me, it's either you work for 40 hours to get all the benefits or you work 29 and you don't. That's just the way I'm thinking, because it's a pretty steep increase as far as total compensation and what we're paying someone that is not pulling a full 2080.
But we're not spending the $11,000, right? Or which one are we talking about?
I want to see what we're talking about.
This is on HR
35.
We're on GF3, correct.
Which
it's GF3, just wages, 6110 wages. And if you go through, because the only two wages that come out of the admin are David's and Annie's. And, let's see, and Brenda's.
No.
It's David and Annie. And so, you know, if you look at the breakdown of the total compensation, $5,800 and change for health insurance. And then the TMRS, $1,500 for someone that's not working.
We always budget all the benefits, and health insurance is a real good example, because while we have an employee that may decline it today, the employee that replaces them may not, and you have to have that accounted for.
Yes, I guess that was my point. We're budgeting $11,534, but we're not spending $11,534. We're spending $5,058.
Okay, so she is still declining the health insurance, but she is getting the TRS.
TMRS, yes.
camera. They don't like it when you sit there and bend over backwards for folks.
I understand your point. And there again, I guess I look at it different as a business owner. Valuable employees are hard to come by these days. What's bad is a lot of times when you end up losing one, you make accommodations. If that employee's worth those accommodations, sometimes you do that because it's to better your company. On the downside, sometimes it may cause you to lose something. Are you getting your full benefits out of that person to what you're paying them? But when you do, and David did make a point, I was waiting to say this, is that the next one you hire may require all that. Now you've got a full-time employee paying them on additional salary. I know she's a very valuable asset up here. I've used her services quite a bit since I've become mayor, getting paperwork and stuff done, and it's nice. But this is something the council members, you look at, you tell me, I've proposed my budget. I'm standing by what I did. You can show me something makes me squeal, and I'll stand by it and say, okay, you're right. But this one is sort of a gray area. I will agree with Alderman Snell, no doubt. But I think that you'll be hurting yourself in the long run, taking something away and losing this person. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I'm not saying we, because it's not my job to fire people. But,
no, I understand. I'm just saying someone may want.
This is something that came up last year, and it's still here because of the Obamacare issue. And but I just wanted to bring that to the attention of council. That
so we're talking about the difference between what we budget versus what we actually spend.
And I'm not sure what the Obamacare reference or impact is, because we were over that already. I mean, it would the new law would require us to provide health insurance at a lower threshold, but we already were doing that.
So we're talking about budgeting $11,534 versus spending $5,058,
which is my
opinion. which is really the what we're talking about.
Yes.
So the $6,000 more or less doesn't get spent.
Correct.
But it gets budgeted for.
Correct.
So it looks to me like that's not a real fiscal impact. It's a budget impact as far as the numbers, but as far as expenditures and such, it's not going to change. So I guess I don't see where that puts us in a better position.
Well, I'm more interested in real numbers. And I don't like having things budgeted in the budget that kind of like that ghost position at part when we get to later. But I don't like that. That way we actually have real numbers, because we're actually doing really well this year, budget wise. We're only looking at 174,000. We're doing real well. Very pleased. And but because we don't have actual numbers. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I have a problem
with. Well, we are looking at real numbers. I mean, this is real numbers. You're looking at what you've got, what you're proposing to spend, what you're projecting to end the year at. We know some of the numbers. Some of them we're yet to find out. But these are real numbers. There's nothing fake about any of these numbers. We get hung up on this every time, and we are not top level tier city where we can pay people great wages to do good work. And if you have somebody that's doing a great job for the money we're paying them, don't mess with them. I mean, if she's not a valuable employee, we need to get rid of her. But from everything I've heard, she's a great employee, above and beyond the call of duty. We're looking at a number that we're not spending. Leave it alone. Move on. Let's go on to the next item. That's my two cents.
More is always about
style. I had a rough day today.
We appreciate that, sir.
My table's out.
Alderman Wheeler.
So you're staying here for all night.
Alderman Wheeler, do you have anything to add?
No, sir. I have no problem with this budget.
All right. Let's go to GF4, if you wouldn't mind. GF4, any questions on this page? I'm sorry.
I didn't get a chance to ask a question on GF2.
All right.
Sorry.
GF2?
You jumped ahead.
I apologize. GF2. Let's go back to GF2. Yes, sir.
I noticed on the miscellaneous, from what we were presented to last week to what we're presented this week, is a substantial
revenue increase.
Yeah.
Yes. The in the last in the cycle of working with the mayor, there were no police cars in the police department for purchase. Prior to last workshop, we put a police car in. At that point, it was kind of tentative, and what we didn't put in was the revenue that we would anticipate from the sale of the car that would be surplus out. So there's $6,000 in there in the estimated revenue for the surplus.
Okay, but but that's going to balance out in the because I noticed that it went up. The maintenance fee went up from $4,300 to $7,500 based on the additional work that we're budgeting in for the cars.
That went in last year.
Right.
So there's no change here. There was no offsetting expenditure. It just reduced the amount of.
Okay.
All right. All right. So you want to go back to GF4? Is that correct? Anybody have any problems with this? At GF4, administration expenditures. Any questions on this page?
On outside services.
Would you give us the number, sir?
Yeah, it's 6369.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We have a budget for this year, no expenditures, and then blanks. So let me just say there's blanks there. And then a halving of that item for. Proposed for next year. I don't know. I see 2011 and 12 at 5620. Where are we this year on that item? Or not at all?
We have no expenditures on that.
We have no expenditures at all.
Okay.
So, all right. I guess I would have wanted to see zeros in there, not blanks, but that's just me.
Well, and it in the accounting format. It won't give you a zero, it gives you a little dash.
Okay.
And I didn't put in
okay, I understand then the nomenclature. I'm just saying there's nothing spent this year.
Correct.
All right. Because I was trying to see how we leap from one year to the next. I'm fine with that.
Any other questions from council on page GF4?
What about the newspaper reduction? I know that's not much money, but.
Yes, there will be. Well, there theoretically will be a reduction in the newspaper cost. I have learned that the Bay Area Observer does now meet the requirements. We have had discussions with them last week, and I have it on the agenda for the next council meeting to change the official newspaper from the Chronicle to the Bay Area Observer. That will go from about $42 a column inch to Chronicle to just under $10 a column inch. More than that, it will give us a weekly publishing opportunity instead of twice a month, and it will allow us to submit on Monday for Thursday publishing instead of on Thursday for Thursday publishing. So it has a lot of benefit. All that said, don't know what our publishing requirements are going to be, and the number was just left at the 1500. I know that given this set of circumstances, the effective tax rate publishing is required to be a quarter page. That's what you're required to publish. And normally we only publish that once, but because of the new law requiring you to publish before September 1st, we know we'll be publishing it twice. And I know that will fall into this fiscal year, but I don't know if the legislature will have that problem solved by next year, and we may find other surprises. And so it wouldn't be a big number. I mean, if we cut it in half, it'd be $750. Again, if we don't publish, we don't spend it, the money isn't going anywhere.
Can we cut that to $750 just for sake of cutting?
you're suggesting we cut it?
To 750, yeah.
So if we have to publish twice, where are you going to get the other $750?
The charges are much less.
Like 40 down to 10.
They're less than a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard
40
that.
Down to 10, yeah.
So I would propose that we don't change it at all. We leave it at the 1500, but...
Until we have a hard number of what... You know, I haven't had real good luck with the Bayshore people, so... I would say let's not change it. Yeah.
And also, council hasn't changed the official pay for it.
Yeah.
There's still product until you do that. So.
That's fine.
Any other questions on GF4?
I have a question that Mr. Moyer brought up, 6369 outside services. The 1314 budget, that line item is referenced as network server maintenance and service agreement. Is that something we... Do you think something's going to break? I mean, I'm just wondering. Because that... We haven't had to spend anything, thank goodness, this year after budgeting $10,000. Is it just equipment's getting older?
No, it's a constantly moving target, and we do as much of it in-house as we can. There are other components of that come under maintenance of office equipment. So the little routine $200 or $300 things happen there. The number got really large, back to the 42,000, when the council anticipated, the mayor anticipated having consultants working with the city. We had a consultant for planning and zoning issues. We had a consultant for city goals and objectives. We had consultants on meeting management. And then it was reduced to $10,000. Shifting it mostly to looking at network things, and if the council were to have a any type of study or consultant work done, that didn't happen, and $5,000 is adequate for the kind of network things that we anticipate that we'll need next year or not.
One thing you can do, you can take money out, but you can't put money back in. So anything you take out, we're not going to have to put back in. Stressing that point, but if you feel like you want to drop it down, that's totally up to the council to make that decision. Alderman Bunker?
I mean, I'm good with the five. I know it's the number right now, but
I'm fine.
David, do you think that we can kind of we could get away with $3,500 a month?
We can keep squeezing. At some point, we need to change how we do our off-site data and go to a cloud service. It won't cost $3,500. That's one of the things in this next year that I was hoping to accomplish. One of the things that I really don't like to do with a budget is to spend money out of a line item that isn't what you're spending it. And I'm afraid if you short a lot of these and make them, a budget is a budget. It's an estimate. It's a projection. And if we don't have money in here for what the line item says, and you take it out of janitorial or you take it out of something else, you start distorting your expenditures. When you look at that, and so you will find that we will overrun line items, but it increases the pressure. The more that someone looks at a department person looks at their budget and overrunning something, they try to move it somewhere else.
Well, that's what scares me. You know, I've looked at this budget so much in the last few weeks, I'm about blind. And you know, I told myself I was going to stay to my guns, stay true to what I decided I was going to do as far as the mayor doing my part. So with that being said, I think I'm going to stay with where I'm at. And I'm going to ask the council what their opinion is. Mr. Wheeler?
We've already cut $5,000 out of last year's projected, so I know we didn't spend it, but...
Mr. pounds.
It's earmarked, so I'm okay with it.
We're on GFI. GFI Municipal Court expenditures. Any questions on this page?
6292, Court Security. I guess I'm trying, again, it appears that we haven't spent any money out of that item. The numbers projected to go up.
We just did this last week. It's a restricted fund.
We can't change that.
And it's a carryover. It carries through when we don't spend.
Okay, so is that all what we're seeing is that the 9,300 didn't get spent, and so it carried, there was a, that carried over to the next year, so there's about $2,300 for this year, and then another $2,300 each year. Is that the delta that accumulates?
That was the question I asked last week. Mm-hmm. So that's
great. For the love of God, will y'all please spend that this year?
Yes,
yeah,
so we'd like to do that.
Okay.
Brenda would love it. So we'll turn glass and panic buttons.
Moving on to GF6. Before I took the glass off. Police Department. On this page, any questions? Council.
The overtime budget, 6125.
Yes, sir.
We're budgeting it at the same level as for this year, but our expenditures seem to be substantially less than that. I'm working under the presumption that the chief has instituted the means of better tracking overtime and better assigning it, because this was an issue that came up in past fiscal years, that there was overtime accounting issues, and I've already heard that.
It's got to be a typo, huh?
I think this is a formula error there.
Yeah,
it's highly unlikely that it has the same number. I don't believe it. I think that's an error.
Okay. That's why I asked the question.
Well, I'm glad you did, so let's find the answer. It shows to be the number, but I'm still skeptical that we...
It is
a correct number. It's a correct number, and the reason that the shift between the wages and the overtime is different and didn't impact it is because the increase in wages is not an increase in wages, it's an increase in wage liability for the sick time. So it is budgeting the same amount of overtime. The chief has done exceedingly well with overtime. And
I'd be perfectly happy to put in a number of $10,000, even though...
Okay, then what we would do is we would go back to the human resources sheet and we would reduce the number of hours that's allotted per officer for overtime, because that's what drives this number.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. I think I do. So I'm just trying to look at what's actually happening. The chief seems to have managed that much better than it appears to have been in the past, but
correct.
To suggest that it's going to we budgeted at the same number seems a bit presumptuous, at least on my part, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have cut it that severely. Again, it's one of those things that's budgeted, but you don't spend it. But if we have a major event, which we didn't have this last year, but if you have an event where you shut down 146 and you've got all hands on deck, or you have a chemical release, or we have a hurricane.
Any hurricane, you know, anything.
You know, there are things that can happen that
overtime can burn up very quickly.
You can't not send the officers out there. You just got to have them.
I understand. I guess I'm just saying that will be another one of those like we talked about by several minutes.
My concern is if you were to cut that number, you know, when you look at it, is that we have, there again, I'm trying not to get tunnel vision. We were supposed to have a very active season this year. Say if we even get a small storm in, we get any type of flooding, if anything goes on, or God forbid we get another big one in here, you're going to eat up overtime very quickly. And or like
here's my issue with you know, we we've set up a budget. Yeah, we may have some cushion in some of these line items, but if you cut these things down to a bone, and then some unforeseen emergency happens, a hurricane, a flood, a, you know, whatever, and you have to pay these officers, they're going to be paid, or the city's going to do without the services. Nobody in the city wants that. So where are you going to get the money from?
You go to council in emergency session, and you go into the general fund. That way you're
reserved. Everybody's going to holler about that.
Well, they can holler all they want. We're doing it already in this budget, and they're not hollering.
Well, if we're on the track we're going, hopefully we won't spend $19,000. Right now, we're not end of the year without maybe six or seven, unless some catastrophe happens.
We're not doing those anymore.
Yeah, I'm over.